Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. A new star is born. Barcelona beat Athletic Club thanks to a goal 33 seconds into his debut by wonder kid Mark with 50% of his name taken up by the letter U, young Mark Guiu is destined to have it mispronounced throughout his entire glittering career, especially the bit where he ends up on loan at Sunderland. Half a million Instagram followers have appeared overnight. What other way of measuring success could there be? Quick, give the boy a billion euro buyout clause. A point separates the top three after Real Madrid were held in a feisty match at Sevilla, where Sergio Ramos faced his old club and was spared from scoring an own goal by a VAR offside. He and Antonio Rudiger then later faced off in a testicle weighing competition. And, you know, the moment that I knew Jude Bellingham was a true Real Madrid player was when he stamped on Ivan Rakitic and didn't get sent off. And tell me this, if Rafa Benitez is such a football genius, how come his goalkeeper dropped the ball at the feet of Atletico Madrid centre-forward and then shoved him to the ground? Any half-decent coach would have told him not to do that. The much-decorated manager has been feeling the heat, especially for substituting Iago Aspas. To be fair, the Celta legend is statistically the worst finisher in La Liga this season. Rafa just needs to explain that to the fans. He's got an XG of G-XG of -3.6, and that should win them over. The top scorers in La Liga are obviously Girona. We'll look at all of the games from the Spanish top flights this weekend, including Villarreal getting a draw against Alaves for a handball roughly in the vicinity of the penalty area. And we'll have a quick preview of El Clasico. The Brits are banned from watching it live, but whatever you do, don't stream illegally, everybody. The messaging from the football authorities could not be clearer. Ah, right, Terry, an interesting weekend. And the top of La Liga is great, isn't it? You know, there's nothing between the top three. Atleti are further back with the game in hand, which they will play late December. So everything to play for. Shall we start with the young sensation? Fairly confident that you say, so you say Guiu, I believe, because that's how Xavi said yes. In the interview afterwards. 17-year-old kid, wonder kid. Obviously, we're all going to get carried away, and everyone's now following on Instagram and all of this. And but he won the game. Are we getting carried away? Is this, you know, is that the danger here?
Oh, totally. But why not? I think it's because of Barcelona's. I mean, what they're doing is incredible. I mean, we're talking about. Last night, he was 17 and came on. We got a 16-year-old winger. We've got Gavi, who's running the show's 19, and then Alejandro Baldi, Fermin Lopez. They've got Ansu Fati out on loan. It's Pedri, who's there as well. So, but I think what we've got to understand that it's really difficult, almost impossible, for a 16-year-old to break into any top-flight football team. It happens occasionally. Bellingham did it at Birmingham. That was in the Championship. Lamine Yamal is at Barcelona. It's a completely different kettle of fish. But to have this amount of young players, and it really does make me feel old. Xavi said last night after the game, we have a really good generation of players that were born in 2006, 2007. I think I've been watching Spanish football, working on Spanish football longer than they've been alive. And it only seems like yesterday I started. And that was back in 2004. It was 3 years before some of these players were born. But for a group of players to come along at that teenagers, young players, is absolutely astonishing because they're not doing it at, you know, Rio or Mallorca. They're doing it at Barcelona, one of the biggest clubs in the world. And to break into that level and break into that first team, it'd be interesting to see. You know, I saw Christensen interviewed after the game last night, and he said that he's been training with the first team for a while. I maybe on the international breaks, but how many of these kids can train with the first team squad of 20-odd players when they're all fit and not on international duty. I mean, have you got a ton of these kids just over there that can bring over and train with the first team on a regular basis? My thought last night was would be that some of those players he played with last night probably didn't even know his name. Because he's only had one game for the B team. The rest of the time he's been playing in the under-18s at Barcelona. So it's not as if he's been playing regularly in the B team, which gives an excuse to be close to the senior players. That, you know, you saw Lewandowski and Frankie de Jong on the touchline. They're probably thinking, well, he looks good. But what I've found with the Barcelona youngsters is they're all very similar. They're quite diminutive. They're all quick. They're very skillful. They're fantastic players. The diamond would be a 6'2", 7 centre forward at 17 that breaks into a team and scores gold, because everyone's looking for that centre forward. So is that true about the Instagram followers went up half a million overnight? Yeah. I said in commentary, it's life-changing. He's literally from obscurity to winning a big game of football, you know, against Athletic Club. The stakes were high. He's playing against senior pros, a traditionally, you know, historic club. And then on he comes. And technically, what he did was totally different to any of the attacking play that Barcelona had prior to that. He ran in behind. And he was fed by a wonderful pass from João Félix. But the rest of the time, Barcelona had been slowly but surely working their way up the pitch. Everything was to feet. They were relying on João Félix trying to do something special to create a chance or two. But Athletic were finding it quite straightforward to deal with everything that was in front of them. He came on, and within 23 seconds, he's making that run in behind. Within two touches, he scored. And that was a shock to the system for Athletic Club. They hadn't had to defend that situation the whole game, apart from the first 10 or 15 minutes. But it was slightly different because it was Balde who was attacking down the left, and they kept sweeping the ball out wide. So he wasn't running in behind. And they dealt with that, Athletic Club. DeMarco struggled at the start, but as the game progressed, he got players to help him. The service wasn't as frequent to Balde, and the game, you know, became more even. But as soon as someone come on and used his pace and direct play to run in behind, centre-halves hate that. It's the last thing in the world they want, and we don't see enough strikers doing it nowadays. And people say VAR, oh, it's a problem, VAR. It should be a blessing to strikers that want to make those runs in behind, because the amount of times I was called offside and I knew I wasn't. But you now get that benefit of I'm timing my run well, I'm getting in behind, and VAR will prove that I was onside. And so it is a blessing. It can be a hindrance. If you keep making silly runs, you're going to get pulled up. And if you score a goal or two, that's disallowed. But if you time your runs well, and he did that to perfection, and also the pass was perfect in the timing of it, but it was brilliant. It was, you know, it was it changed the game completely. It's a fantastic story. Within 23 seconds, his heart would have been pumping out of his chest because he's getting on for the first team, because they've got loads of injuries and they had no one else to turn to on the bench that was a centre forward. They had other young midfield players and a fullback, but he was the one that you're thinking, Xavi must be thinking, well, I've seen something. Last throw of the dice, what have I got to lose? Took off Fermin Lopez, who was playing in that full centre-forward role in the second half, and chucked on the kid, and it paid off. But there is a worry that we do go over the top. But, I mean, it happens. We hear, you know, players score a goal early in their careers and do find it hard to live up to that take. But for him, last night, life-changing experience, you know, and it's almost good to see. But what Barcelona are doing with the young players is off the scale. It really is. And every one of them that comes in does well and looks a talent. And you're thinking, how are 16 and 17-year-olds playing for one of the biggest clubs in Europe? We don't see it at Man United, at Liverpool, at Chelsea, at Arsenal, or any clubs at, you know, Spurs. We don't ever hear of a 16 or very rarely a 17-year-old. And that Barcelona have got a whole host of teenagers. Gavi's approaching 200 games.
Yeah.
I was looking at his stats last night, and they've got to be careful. I get why they're being careful with Lamine Yamal. They have to be. I saw stuff when I was doing prepping for the game yesterday. Pedri played 76 games in one season. And that's why he's been suffering. So he did two international tournaments back-to-back in the same summer. And that was absolutely ridiculous, to be honest. I mean, he played in the Euros and went to the Olympics. And he was a teenager. So they've got to be careful. But it just goes to show, you know, every Lewandowski, every Frenkie de Jong, I was going to say Jude Bellingham, every Karim Benzema, they were all young players on stage.
Yep.
So these superstars of the future are there. If Barcelona hadn't had the money issues, if they hadn't had the injury issues they've got at the moment, some of these young players might not have got the opportunities, but they've got them, grabbed them. And you know, whatever else is happening with Barcelona, the future looks bright in terms of a group of young players that could go on to special things for the club.
Although they've got to deal with the fact that he won't now stay in the team and play forever, will he? I mean, you had direct experience of this yourself, didn't you? Breaking into Spurs team at 17, and then, you know, that's you're not then done and finished, and that's it. Superstar career guaranteed.
No, totally. Was it Makeda at Manchester United? He did it when he was a kid. The youngest scorer of Lamine Yamal broke. Was it Alunga at Malaga? I had to check to see where he was. He was the youngest ever goal scorer at Malaga. I remember him scoring a goal and become the youngest ever player to score in La Liga. And his career never got off the ground after that. So it can happen, but also if managed properly, his attributes look good, didn't they? He was, for a 17-year-old kid, he held off Danny Vivian on a couple of occasions. His touch looked good. His finish looked good. His run looked good. So it depends on what happens to him. There's a lot of responsibility on the club to make sure that he doesn't fall away. It's hard to keep him involved on a regular basis because there are other players ahead of him, of course. But to manage that and not totally, you know, discard him and put him back to the, you know, he's gone forward those steps. You don't want to put him all the way back.
Hmm.
Keep him involved. Keep him around the first team. And see how he progresses. I would hate to see him just disappear again and next season we go, who's that kid that scored for Barcelona? We've never seen him again. There was one for Real Madrid last year. I've forgotten his name.
Rodriguez, was it?
Alvaro Rodriguez,
yeah,
was it?
That's it, yeah.
Scored a great goal and looked the part. We haven't seen him a couple of squads after that. Mm. He looked the real deal as well. So Spain is blessed with a lot of young talent, Barcelona in particular. But it's astonishing to think that of all the clubs in Europe, one of the biggest clubs are producing and playing these kids. As I said, there's no one in the Premier League has done it for years. I guess Man United back in the 90s was the last time a group of young players came in and succeeded.
It's almost like the stakes are too high, isn't it? Because you know, in La Liga, Liga's an old league, isn't it? And as we go through today, there'll be old goal scorers, old players to talk about. And it's almost like it's only the unique combination of circumstances at Barca that, actually, maybe not only, because it's impossible to say whether they would have been given a chance if, in different circumstances.
We're just speculating.
Yeah, maybe they would. Cool. Shall we do Real Madrid's draw at Sevilla? There's an awful lot that's not quite the game to talk about with this one, isn't it? So it's a one-all draw, Alaba own goal, and then very quickly, Carvajal with a Ramos style header. Cracking header. I'm not quite sure what he was doing there, but he was. Let's get this. There was a resurgence of the racism that has marred La Liga. Vinny, funnily enough, again, the man to be abused. Credit to Sevilla. They have dealt action. I think it's all we can ask for, isn't it? You know, you can't hold the clubs responsible for every idiot who supports them. You just want there to be a reliability of the sanction. You want there to people to know that if there are racist idiots associated with your club, you deal with it or there will be a sanction. You want there to be an inevitable process and then you start to win the battle.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. It was an adult, a male, and a child. It was a child. So that's the adult male has been punished swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
What Sevilla decided to do with the young child who looked no 10 or 11, I thought it was a boy, but it appears it might be a girl. That's come from behaviour of people around them. And Sevilla have dealt with it swiftly. Mm. And that's everyone has to be accountable, and it has to, people have to be made aware, oh, this is a real thing, you know, banners, a few adverts here and there. It has to be a real thing that people in that ground that support Sevilla are now aware that if they are trying to...
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Think of the right word. Stupid doesn't even get anywhere near it. Ignorant enough to behave like that. Then they will face the consequences. And if it happens at Sevilla, it happens to happen at any other club that this behaviour goes on. And then hopefully the message will get through that what happened to Valencia last season wasn't a one-off. A little bit of a punishment to Valencia and their supporters, but they shut a tear at the stand. No, this is ongoing. It's not just a campaign for clicks and likes. It's a real thing. Yeah. And yes, Sevilla have to be congratulated isn't the right word, but commended by the fact that they didn't fudge it and dealt with it straight away and handed the person over to the authorities. Now, I'm not sure what punishment will go on after that, but as a football club, Sevilla have done everything they could.
Yes. So on the pitch, there's various refereeing and behavioural issues to deal with. Was a draw fair enough? Let's do that bit first.
Just. I based that on the fact that I felt Sevilla almost shaded it. They're weird Sevilla at the moment, aren't they? I mean, their league position, the 13th, 9 points. But the last few games I've seen them, I know it's Diego Alonso's first game, but the last few games, they've been better. But he clearly made a difference in this game. He did make one or two team changes. And I thought they might have just shaded it. But I think for an away team, that you know, it's not a big surprise at Sevilla. That Sevilla, the home team, do just shade it. But, you know, I think Real Madrid were just about the draw was a fair and solid result for Real Madrid. It's not points dropped away from home at Sevilla. It's a tough place. Mm. If they're at it, and they are with a new manager and the stadium's full, it's not in the world for Real Madrid to only pick up a point. But, no, I think if anyone shaded it, it might have just been Sevilla. But not the most unfair result in the world. And both teams were happy at the end of it, I think. We nearly had the drama, didn't we, with Ramos for the winning goal. What would he have done? I was thinking, my bet is he would have celebrated like a lunatic because he's got a debt to pay to the Sevilla fans. Mm. The last thing he would have done last night, on Saturday night when he scored, if he hadn't celebrated it, then the whole thing comes crashing down on him. But the way he played, his aggression, his enthusiasm. Oh, yeah. And him and Rüdiger was... Yeah, I enjoyed it. I shouldn't say that.
Who was the alpha male at the end of end of the night between the two of them? Obviously there is a refereeing conspiracy, Terry, but I couldn't decide which way round it was.
The referee didn't manage the game well. I actually, on one hand, I was sitting there thinking, but I'm glad he hasn't blown that for a foul.
Yeah,
and similar to in the Barcelona game, there was three kicks, and I thought, no. I'm used to the fouls being given, but it might be complaint. They're not fouls. Stop blowing for free kicks. So I don't want to complain about when a referee misses one or two.
Yeah.
And the benefit is then the game flows more and, you know, we don't get a free kick every 45 seconds. But it was his management of situations in this game that he could accuse him of losing control of it at times.
He literally did at one point, didn't he? When Real Madrid score on a counter-attack because, what about six players don't realise that the whistle's gone and Real Madrid go up the other end and score a goal. But it's a mess, isn't it? But ultimately, in terms of, you know, I'm joking about there being a conspiracy because I think in the end it was the right decision in the end, wasn't it? He just made an absolute hash of making the right decision.
Yeah, his man management and his skill refereeing management in that was awful. It was a ball goes out to Ocampos who tries to bring it down. It's bouncing. Rüdiger lunges him, misses him with his studs and his feet. but catches him with the knee into the side, into the rib, the area of the ribs. It's a clear foul. It's a yellow card all day long. Reckless and an aggressive challenge. But the referee then goes, looks, so he's looking towards the corner flag down Sevilla's left side of attack. He then gestures to Ocampos, get up. There's nothing wrong with you. And then within 3 or 4 seconds, blows.
Yeah, even quicker. It looks.
Yeah.
And then second later, and it only takes a second, doesn't it? And the players who haven't heard start a count. They go up the other end and start attacking. But he's changed his mind, blown his whistle, and gone back.
But the problem was with the management of the game there was
yeah.
he didn't give the foul, and I'm not sure he did give the foul, but he blew, it appears, for Campos to get treatment. And he's got his back to the players that are carrying on playing, whilst everyone in that half of the pitch has stopped, and one or two are arguing, the Real Madrid players, saying, you didn't give the foul, why have you now stopped? We've got a counter-attack. The game's continuing, and Real Madrid score. Ultimately, it was a foul, so the right decision was made, and it's up to the referee. I think it was an obvious foul, one that the referee should see, so I don't give him any credit. He has to get criticism for the fact he misses a blatant foul that possibly could have been a yellow card. It was that obvious a foul, but he didn't. He let the play go and then blew, and no one knew why he had blown. Did he suddenly think, oh no, it was a foul, or did he blow for the treat for Ocampos to get treatment, which he was always going to need? It was a hefty old blow. So that was the one. There was an offside, which was offside, so that's not down to the referee. There was a challenge from Navas on Vinicius.
So was that a pen?
There probably was, actually, yeah.
So bundles into the back of him, doesn't he? And there is an element where you're thinking, has Vinny gone down a bit easily, but then he probably did run into the back of him.
Tangle, leg. Was there one
straight away afterwards where, or not straight away, outside of the area where he.
Got a foul.
Yeah. Because it's easier to give it outside the box.
And in fairness, it was more of an obvious foul than the other incident. Vinicius, he did just barge into the back. That was more of an obvious foul. But I thought the other challenge from Navas and Vinicius could have been a penalty as well.
Yeah.
So it was a good comeback from Real Madrid. You know, Sevilla get the goal. They're 1-0 down away from home. And inexplicably, they allowed Danny Carvajal, of all people, to drift in at the near post and get the flick on. And
score a good header. En-Nesyri, didn't he? Which is incredible.
It was asleep. En-Nesyri was knocked off.
He
probably thought, oh, it's only Carvajal. There should be someone in that area to head the ball away. He was only in that particular area of the situation. There wasn't. So that was poor play defensively from Sevilla on their set piece. But Real Madrid has still got a problem. I mean, we're looking at a team that's playing, they're getting the points, they're getting the results. This is a good result. I'm not going to be critical of them getting a 1-1 draw away to Sevilla, despite Sevilla languishing down in 13th. It's a decent point. But Danny Carvajal scores the goal in this one.
Yeah.
And if it's not Bellingham, Hosanu, who's still not trusted. This was a big game and he wasn't trusted to start up front. Vinicius is still playing wide on the left. Bellingham is still playing left side of midfield. They've still got a left back. They're very left-sided in their approach. And they're going to... I think they're... Fortunate is not the right word because it's been great play from Bellingham to score 10 and 11 so far this season. They needed a goal at the weekend. It came from their right back from a set piece. They didn't really look like scoring too many other goals apart from that. So I think it's going to be an issue that's going to have to be dealt with. And the only way I can see it being dealt with is Hosanu has to be trusted.
Yeah, or they buy a striker in January.
Exactly. But it appears that they want to save the 180 million that it's going to cost to sign Mbappe. Plus his wages. That's what I've heard.
Lovelorn teenagers staring at their mobile phone, waiting for it to...
I laugh when people say he's going to be free. No, the deal is 180 million.
Right, yeah.
And then wages on top. So instead of paying PSG the fee, which is always going to happen with Bosman rulings, I'm surprised it hasn't happened more where a player has said, no, you're willing to pay 50 million for me. My contract's up. I want the 50 million. And then I want wages on top. And it looks like Mbappe is probably going to be the first at that level. I'm sure there are other players that have done it, but he knows he's a £200 million player. And it's going to be him that gets the signing on fee and then wages on top. Why would a player go, no, yeah, you were going to pay that. I want it. I'm the person you're buying me from. And,
because, yeah.
And then I want the wages that go with a £200 million.
I get it. But the Bosman ruling has driven wages up. So the players are now sort of wanting it. If that's the case, they're wanting it both ways. They wanted they want the fee, the lump sum, and the higher wages that have resulted from the Bosman ruling. But I suppose it's up to Real Madrid to decide whether he's worth it or not. Because I suppose if you go for, I don't know, the alternative being, say, Osimhen, he's going to cost you 100 something million, isn't he, anyway? So, yeah. You know, which then you're going to hand over to Napoli. And then you're going to have to then negotiate signing on fee and everything else.
When it does happen, I'm pretty sure it will happen, we cannot on this podcast ever say, oh, they signed him on a free.
Free transfer. Yeah. We picked him on a free. No one wanted him.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the big issue with Real Madrid. They're relying on Carvajal scoring a goal at the weekend. They've relied on Jude Bellingham scoring 10 goals in his first 11 matches. It's going to be an issue.
You know what I will say? When you remind me not to call him free transfer, Kylian Mbappe, if they don't win anything this season, the Mbappe transfer will be part, non-transfer, will be part of that. They've left a gap in their squad building for Mbappe for 2 years, or for 18 months, as we're now standing. And, you know, presumably they won't do anything in January. And then, you know, and they've weakened themselves while waiting for Mbappe.
Totally. I mean, and in all fairness to Real Madrid, Benzema's transfer came out of the blue. So the plan was Benzema and then Mbappe a year later. Benzema suddenly gets a
to an extent. You and I sat here discussing how they needed to replace Benzema because season before last he was magnificent. Last season they were patching him up to get him through games. And he was occasionally magnificent, but he was showing his age by then. And they needed to have acted. And they wanted to act, didn't they? They wanted Mbappe while they still had Benzema. And the two of them would work together fine. But they waited and waited and waited, and he's messed them around. Right. Rafa Benitez, just quick check. Is he still in his job?
Yes. Yep. So, I haven't seen anyone sacked this morning. International break is the next. Seems to be the international break, doesn't it? When they've got 2 week gap to make a change, when the next round of sackings might be.
He's hanging on. The point I was making in the intro, it doesn't help when your goalkeeper has an absolute aberration that effectively kills you right there and then. It's a regulation catch. You'd be disappointed not to catch that ball, swung into the penalty area, literally drops it at the centre forward's feet and then grabs hold of it. Okay. And it killed them from there. They didn't react particularly well. He's getting hammered for taking off Iago Aspas. But then again, Iago Aspas isn't delivering, is he?
No, I couldn't agree more with that one. And he is a favourite of La Liga TV when I do go on there. And we do talk about Aspas as if he's... don't get me wrong, he's had a wonderful career and he's been wonderful for Celta Vigo. And I've really enjoyed watching Iago Aspas for that club. He's had other spells away at Liverpool and Sevilla that didn't particularly well. It's a good fit. He is a hero. He's an iconic player for Celta Vigo. He hasn't scored since, was it March? And you talked about his expected goal conversion.
He's the worst in the league.
It's not conducive to Celta scoring goals when there are other players around at this moment in time that are playing better. And we saw the close-up when he has a tantrum when he's taken off. And I don't want to be too harsh on Celta in this game because it's Atletico Madrid that they're losing to. You make their mistake, you go down to 10 men. Atleti are playing well. They're on a good run of form. I don't think Rafa Benitez should get the sack on this game. When you compare the opponents, the fact the goalkeeper makes a mistake, gets sent off to start the ball rolling in terms of the first goal of the game. And then Atleti were just happy to be patient and eventually wear them down and Griezmann gets a lucky second goal. It makes no bones about the fact that it's
no credit to him. Sliced, yeah, he fell over. He's like leaning back, fell over, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he's laughing on the floor. You know, and Grijalita goes to and intercept the cross, and it slices in towards the near post. Then he gets a one on the plate for the third goal. And some games, you just, as a player, things go your way. And at the moment, things are going his way and Adlitti's way. They're working hard. They've had come through a bit of a mini, well, big injury crisis. They're in good shape. So I wouldn't sack Rafa Benitez on the back of this particular result. But it's a concern, but there's other teams down there. It's really hard, isn't it, to know, in not only in La Liga, but other leagues around as well, what's your choice? You know, do you believe in the manager you've appointed or the one you've got? Do you think, you look around the league and think, well, we're better than them? You know, you could look at the fixture list and think, we've had some tough games. Or do you just go, bang, this isn't working, change it? Mm-hmm. I hope the thought process is a bit of both. That the clubs do look at it and think, you know, no, I'll come to another manager.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
A minute that's getting criticism as well. But I hope the thought process is, from Celta's point of view, that's Atletico Madrid. You know, we a goalkeeper messes up. Cost us being competitive in the game, to be honest. So move on to the next game, one of those things. And let's trust the manager, or will we see Celta do have a recent history of sacking managers like Sevilla? I was astonished the other day. Was it 11 in 7 years for Sevilla? Which is absolutely ridiculous. And Lopetegui had 2 or 3 years there. So you don't want to get in that spiral where you're constantly changing managers every 5 minutes.
Yeah, we've got Champions League and Europa League coming up, so we'll reconvene for the Patreons only later in the week. So if you've got to be a Patreon, Patreon. .com/LTEL only costs you a couple of quid, a couple of euros, a couple of dollars a month to join us, and that will keep us in business. So please join us for that. And Patreons, join us later in the week. One of our Patreons is Nathan, and he says, in times of austerity, if anyone wants to make certain money, the next time you see Almeria 2 or 3 nil up, put your house, car, dog, granny on the opposition to win. As entertaining as this is, can someone let Almeria know how the final score works?
Yeah. So, and they new were manager playing, as well.
Yes. So they were playing the mighty Girona, and they were 2-0 up, and all was going well. But Girona, you can't stop them.
No, it's astonishing what's happening there. And 3 or 4 games in, one thing, 5, 6, 7, you think, well played. Patronising, little clap. But they've won 8 out of 10. 8-1-8, drawn 1 and lost 1 to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And they're scoring for fun. So we have to then look deeper at, well, how's this happened? You know, we can't just go, oh, they're the City group. They've spent a fortune. Yeah. Let's spend 4 million.
Their wages aren't huge either, are they? They're mid-table in wages, I think.
They had a net spend of 4 million. Because I looked in, I thought, oh, 22 million spent. Oh, that's quite a lot. Mm. Oh, they sold Santi Bueno for 12 million to Wolves. Romeo went to Barcelona, and Terrats went for a couple of million to Villarreal. And you think, that's 18. So their net spend is 4 million. They brought in Gazzaniga, who was already there, but on loan, free from Fulham. Really good keeper. They got Eric Garcia on loan. I think that's, you know, I've been critical of him, whether he was good enough to play for Barcelona, but he's still young and he's good enough definitely to do a good job at Girona. Danny Blin, all his experiences come back in. He's coming to the club on a free transfer. 5 million on Yangel Herrera. The year before the winter window, they bought Siankov for, I think, about 3 or 4 million. Dovbik, who got a couple of goals in this game, came in at 7.5. Savio's coming on loan. So it's, they've really worked hard to bring the right type of player, the right, as you said, within a budget. So it's too flippant just to say, oh, they're part of the City group. They've spent a fortune. They haven't. And then Michel, they have a really good manager, the right manager to manage this type of, this group of players. To go 2-0 down, again, didn't panic, but they were 3-2 up for half-time. So Leo Baptista puts him one up after 1 minute, then 23 minutes gets a second. And then
it was an own goal, that first goal, wasn't it? It was an own goal, wasn't it? Because it wasn't on target, was it?
But then they're 3-2 up at half-time. Mm. And you think, well, you know, that's just the confidence and belief that they've got. Do I think they'll stay in the top four? I'm still going to say no. I think there's other clubs that, but a European spot is well within their reach. Mm. But to win eight, you have to give them, pay all the respect in the world. To win 8 out of 10 games and draw one, and as I say, just the one defeat to Real Madrid, which could have derailed them, could have knocked the steam out of them, but it hasn't. They've bounced back. Going 2-0 down could have knocked the steam out of them. It hasn't. They bounced back. So, yeah, it's one of the most wonderful stories that we've had in La Liga for some time, to be honest.
I've heard Spanish people refer to them as direct, but it's not direct in the sense that I think that we would mean as in a series of high balls, is it? I think they're attacking, aren't they? They get the ball and they run forward exactly. Quickly with it, yeah.
Pass forward quickly with it, run forward with it quickly. They get players joining attack quickly as well. They're great to watch. They really are. And it's everything is first and foremost, can we play the ball forward? Can we run the ball forward? You know, go and close down rather than worrying about people behind you. And it's just, they're really good to watch. And I'm pleased with Michel, actually, because he's had a tough time in the past, but did a good job here and kept his job and got them promoted, did well last season. And they've obviously trust him. And I dare say they might have gone and could have got another manager from there. I'm talking about the City group, the group of managers that they have. But they've stuck with him, and it's paying off. There have been times when he's been in Girona where his job was under pressure, but they've stuck with him, and now it's beyond their wildest dreams to be where they are now.
Yeah,
it's a lovely story, it really is.
Where are Villarreal in the league, Terry? That's where I can, off the top of my head, I'm going to say 13th, 14th. I should have checked obviously before.
14th.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, so not good enough. They got a draw with Alaves. Richard, another one of our patrons, that a penalty against Alaves? Did that really just happen? VAR changed that? Question mark. You and I have been poring over it, haven't we? We've been freezing images. Just about inside or on top, isn't it? Although it's hard to say because you haven't got sort of clear sort of VAR lines or anything.
We need a drone on that one.
Yeah.
You need a drone to look down to see whether, I think a fraction of the ball is on the line.
Yeah.
A fraction. But I don't think drone VAR have that capability of measuring. So an element of guesswork, I guess.
Yeah.
But so it was tough. And
They've guessed and they've intervened really and given a penalty, which changes the game because they've created almost nothing. Villarreal in the game.
Yeah, and I wanted to look at Girona there and look at their players and the players they've brought in and the players that they've sold. We have to... Pacheta's getting a lot of flack. Kike Setien got a lot of flack. We can't ignore the fact that they sold €109 million worth of players.
Mm.
And they've spent €12.5 million on replacing them. 10 of that on Soloff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you lose Pau Torres, you lose Chukwueze, Buledia, who they didn't, they paid less for Soloff than they got for Buledia. They got 12 million for Buledia.
Yeah.
And spent 10 million on Soloff. So they made a profit on that. And then, you know, Danjuma belongs to them, but he's out at Everton on loan. And we can't ignore the fact that Setien and Pacheta, Villarreal, not normally this type of club.
Mm.
You know, they don't go and spend a lot of money. The spendings is 10 million on Soloff, 2.5 million on Ramon Torrance from Girona, and then Ben Brereton Diaz, Comesaña, Denis Suarez, Akamach, all three transfers. So I'm finding Villarreal really uninspiring this season. The new stadium, which has looked vibrant in the last year or so, looks miserable at the moment. There's no atmosphere there. The atmosphere is very flat. And I can understand if you're a VRL supporter. And you're looking in and thinking, well, we had all these players. We've sold them for all that money. How is the president of VRL getting away with it? Because the managers are are taking the blame. I mean, those players are massive losses to Villarreal. You can't get away with that. You can't get away with selling Pau Torres, Chukwueze, and, you know, Nicholas Jackson.
Yeah.
And not have replacements.
So when he's got an awful lot in the bank, the president, doesn't he? Fernando Roy, yeah. Isn't it? So yeah. Because they
In terms of... he's got a lot in the bank.
Metaphorically and, yeah, literally. Yeah. Because over the years... over a lot of years now, or 20 years or something, isn't it, we're talking now?
Yes.
They've overperformed. It's a weird thing to say, because how long can you overperform before it just becomes the reality of the size of club? But it's not a big club. Never enters my mind that Villarreal is a big club. Because it doesn't have a massive fan base, it doesn't have a massive stadium. Until 20 years ago, they hadn't won, well, until the Europa League, they hadn't actually won anything.
Yeah.
And so he sustained them, hasn't he? He's kept them at a level that they didn't really belong at as a club. So you could almost say that, you know, if he's not allowed to put his own money in the same way, the reverting, is this where Villarreal really are? When you take the makeup off, you know, when you look at them, you think,
yeah,
maybe 14th in La Liga is not a bad place for them to be.
Well, in recent years, they have been relegated. It's not always been plain sailing. Well, I think they've been looked at around the rest of Europe, I would say, suggest, particularly in England, where we know what the feeling is. People respect them because of the things you've just said, that they're not a gigantic football club. But it's always been recognised and respected as a really well-run club. And it's not at the moment. And maybe he's taking money out of the club that he's put in the past. I don't know. But from what I can gather, him and the family don't need to take money out of the football club because they've made enough money in their business life already. So I am surprised now whether it's anything to do with financial fair play in La Liga, whether they've come close to that in the past, which has hampered them. But I really just don't see how you can sell players like Jackson, Pau Torres, Chukwueze, and not replace them with, you know, the same standard. It's obvious what the outcome is going to be.
Hmm.
I mean, I would get it if they had done, you know, what Sevilla have done in the past, where they've gone and unearthed players that we didn't know too much about, and straight away you're looking at them thinking, oh, he looks good, they've paid $7 million for him, he looks the real deal. No, they've signed Denis Suarez on a free transfer, you know, and other players of that type of level, where you think they haven't had to work too hard on that, have they? You know, to their scouting, recruitment. We've got all this money to play with. I'm not anticipating or expecting Villarreal to go and spend 100 million that they receive. But if they'd spent something like 50, then yes, I think that would be acceptable. But they spent 12 and 10 of that was on Sola.
So if you're Marcelino and everyone's already writing Pochettino's death warrants. So what are you saying? Are you basically saying, I guess the reality is, this is similar to Lopetegui at Wolves, isn't it, where he ended up leaving. You nowadays, you're going to want to see the books almost, aren't you? You're going to take your agent and also take your financial
accountant,
your accountant in there and say, right, what really, be honest with you, what have we really got to spend?
What's your plan? What's it going to be? This is, I'm not going to expect to come in and spend the whole 110 million they got.
Yeah.
But if you give me 40, 50 million, I think I can, you know, between us, we can find, you know, three or four, five, maybe six really good players that can help us progress. Or a manager might come and say, I want 50, 60, and I want it on three players and buy, you know, players for 15, 20 million at a time. And that probably is more like it. And then maybe one or two at 3 and 4 million young players or stuff, you know, where you can, or maybe on free transfers. There are plenty of them good players about. But to sell for 110 and only spend 12 is too big a gap. And now I do kind of feel sorry for the managers that they're going to be the ones taking the blame on a weekly basis because the team are not performing. And it just looks uninspiring at the moment. It's not an enjoyable watch. And in the past, Villarreal have always been enjoyable to watch, and we all respect what they've managed to achieve. We respect how well the club has been run, But at this moment in time, that's not the case. And really surprising, disappointing as well.
Yeah. Right. We'll quickly go through the rest of the games that have been played. Not too many goals in the rest of them. Also, sooner, they've got a home win, a much-needed, long-awaited home win. A couple of goals for Budimir, and Granada are still really struggling.
Yep, 19, 6 points. And Granada, it was a competitive game, I have to be honest. Chimi Avila was the star in this show, although Budimir got both goals. Chimi Avila, second one was a penalty, but that makes a great pass for the second one where the player was fouled. Great pass for Budimir's first goal. So Budimir, decent result for Osasuna. Real Sociedad made hard work of it. Mallorca were really unlucky in their 1-0
defeat. Good game, there. Actually. It was quite, chances, aren't there, both ends?
But I thought, Mallorca underachieving in terms of the points they've collected.
Yeah.
And I did hear at the weekend, are they in trouble? I don't think they are. I think they've got enough to make sure that they just keep above, mid-table, keep out of the relegation battle. And then we had the Getafe-Betis game. Mark Rocker getting a goal in the first minute, but Betis weren't able to hold on to that lead too long, and Mayoral gets another goal. Mayoral's in good form this year.
Yeah.
Player that Bordeles didn't want, was desperate to sell, and there weren't any takers. And I, at the time, I thought, you know what? I'd be tempted. I don't think the fee was going to be massive, but I think he's on about 5 or 6 goals this year. And I think he's in really good form. And I think he's a decent striker, to be honest.
What level would you be trying if you were trying to sell him?
Price-wise or
club-wise?
I'd want at least 10 million for him. And yeah. Club-wise, I think he'd do a job.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I mean, he's doing a good job for Getafe. If a Premier League club came in for him, I think he would get something between 7 and 10 goals in a season for any team that's looking for that type of striker.
Yeah.
And most teams are. Yeah. I know when it comes up in January, everyone's been looking at a striker. I'm really surprised no one took a gamble on him, to be honest, because Getafe were really willing to move him on. It was common knowledge. He was in the press. And he's proved Bordeles wrong. He's been the main striker for Getafe this season. Good age. I would say, if you're looking at a team in the Premier League,
double it. Whatever number, double it. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. But no one. Which was really strange, I thought. Trying to think. And Las Palmas, Rio was the game of penalties.
Yes, one missed by Muniz. Well, not missed. It was a good save, actually, wasn't it? By Dmitrievski, wasn't it? Yes. And then Bebe scores in the 91st minute. It was a stupid foul, wasn't it? Honestly, 90-odd minutes of the game.
Totally ridiculous. That was bonkers. And then Muniz is going to get the stick because he missed the penalty. What about his teammate giving away the foul like that? And no surprise, I'm glad Bebe didn't mess around with that penalty because he put his foot through it, didn't he? And rightly so. I would have hated to have seen Bebe try Lil Panenka or a stuttered run-up. But it was a classic Bebe penalty finish, shot a goal, just puts his foot through it and late on in the game and gets the points for Rio, who deserved the win. They were a better team.
Valencia Cadiz tonight. We will pick that up for the Patreons only later in the week. But Saturday, 3:15 UK time, honestly, drives you mad, doesn't it? So you can't watch that live in the UK. People elsewhere in the world will be, I know you probably won't care, but it's just a ludicrous situation. It's understandable. There's a 3 o'clock Saturday blackout in the UK to protect league attendance out of this deep pyramid that we've got in England that no one else has in the same way. Fair enough. And then La Liga mess around and deliberately put games in that slot. Deliberately put the games in that slot because then they think that in the Far East market, they're not up against the best Premier League games. And then honestly, you don't want people illegally streaming. But I can say, it's very, very frustrating for fans not being able to watch games that they are paying for. So,
yep,
there we are.
No, I did the 5-0, and it was a Monday night game. I know it can't be because Champions League fixtures and stuff like that, but I'd love it to be a standout time that I don't know, Friday night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then we got the Champions League this week, so that's not out, it's out of the question. Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm lucky I'm going to be out there.
I think in Ireland. TV, but... I think in Ireland you can watch it, actually. I think you might, fingers crossed, but I think it's just UK that we're special. Anyway, so who's going to win?
I would edge towards Real Madrid at the moment.
Yeah.
Not sure where the goal is going to come from. I'm assuming Bellingham. I'm not sure whether Hossler will start. But I base that on the fact that I'm not entirely sure how many of those Barcelona superstars we saw sitting in the stand last night are going to be ready for the Clásico. So I've come to the conclusion that I already knew, to be honest, but Frankie de Jong's such a miss for Barcelona.
Yeah.
I mean, he does make them tick. So he's a big miss. Obviously, Lewandowski's a miss. They could do it with Rafinha as well. With Xavi's undecided with the players he's got available. Who's going to be playing up front and out wide? So I think there's some, you know, Koundé, I think they can get away with. I think Araujo came back on last night, didn't he? And I have to say, Nigo Martinez, I thought, was excellent last night. And he kind of brushed over him. He went there on a free. He missed the first bit because of injury, because of the season. At the beginning of the season, then he plays and you think, oh yeah, he's a good defender. And you know what? He's got that in his locker, the long diagonal switcher play passing range. So I think they can get away with Koundé, but the others, and of course, the intrigue is going to be, will Xavi play Araujo against Vinicius? Will Vinicius stay wide? Will, you know, how are you going to play Araujo and Cancelo? Because Cancelo has been a huge plus for Barcelona. There's a lot to, it's not as straightforward as some of those in the past where we can pick 11s. This one is, you know, a lot of question marks for Real Madrid. Who's going to play up front? Who's going to be fit and available for Barcelona? If some of them are fit, do they come straight back in because they've been missing? I mean, Frankie de Jong's missed about 3 or 4 weeks now. So to throw him back in for the Clásico, I think he could get away with it for an hour, but will he be his best for that hour? So there's a lot, there's a lot up in the air for this Clásico. It's the first one of the season. It's always intriguing.
Yeah.
Real Madrid won the first one last year, but Real Madrid and Barcelona won the league by 10 points. So it's important because of the fixture. It's not crucial in terms of the outcome of who's going to win the title, but it's certainly one to look forward to. I'm in the studio 5 minutes away from the stadium and I'm working in the studio at the weekend. So I think Albert Ferrez and CoCom, at least I can get to watch it live and have my point of view about it as
are there
the
any
game is played.
Superstar signings for
La Liga TV.
Yeah.
I saw Gezke last night. I was obviously working for ITV.
Yeah.
Came home and watched the highlights of the other games and get the opinion of the...
But Gary Lineker's not on it.
Gary Lineker's finished. Yeah, that's finished now,
Released on a free.
My guess it'll be Aitor Karanka and Albert and Combs in the stadium and me in the studio.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, they did play for Barcelona and Real Madrid, didn't they? So, you know, we'll...
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. We'll let them off with that one. Right. Okay. Well, good luck. Well, I don't know who to say good luck to. I hope the luck evens itself out between the two teams. Enjoy your football this week, everybody, with the Champions League. We'll see the Patreons later in the week and we'll see you all to discuss the Clásico next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.